At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Story number one. There's something about this trip that still doesn't sit right with me, even after months of thinking it over. So a few months ago, I went on a solo hiking trip. It wasn't anything extreme, just a 2-day trail through the woods and into some mild mountain terrain. I'd done it before, and the forecast had looked clear enough. But of course, that changed. Late afternoon on the first day, clouds rolled in faster than I thought was possible. The sky turned slate gray, and within minutes, the wind picked up like someone had flipped a switch. The rain was too harsh, covering visibility if there was any. I didn't want to push it, so I started looking for shelter. I stumbled across a cave maybe half a mile off the trail. It was shallow at first glance, just a dark dent in the rock. But as I got inside, I realized it went deeper. The rain was getting bad, visibility was crap, so I went in farther than I'd planned. I didn't want to sleep soaked, and I figured a dry cave was better than a wet tent. It wasn't cozy. It smelled like mildew and dirt, and the air had this weird thickness to it, like I was breathing something heavier than air. Still, I laid my stuff down on a dry patch, had some trail mix, and tried to relax. It was a long evening, and my phone had no signal. Of course, I dozed off sometime after dark. The sound of rain faded into background noise, and the cave was so still it felt like being inside a sealed box. But at around midnight, I woke up, not to the storm, but to something else. Footsteps. Heavy, deliberate, not like water dripping or rocks shifting. It sounded like boots on stone, inside the cave. I sat up so fast my back cracked. My headlamp was right next to me, so I flicked it on and aimed it into the dark. Nothing. The cave stretched much longer than I'd originally thought. The light hit rough walls and then just kept going. The air ahead looked darker somehow, thicker. I called out, not yelling, just loud enough to hear myself. But there was no echo. That struck me as weird, but I didn't think too much about it at the time. I told myself it was the storm making sounds weird. Still, I couldn't shake the feeling, that deep animal unease. I don't get scared easily, but this felt wrong. I decided to check it out. Stupid, maybe, but I needed to know. I walked slowly, light swinging side to side. The cave sloped slightly down, and the air got colder with every step. I must have walked 10 minutes or so before something tapped my shoulder. It was quick, just a single light tap, like someone flicking a finger. I whipped around, headlamp blazing, but again, no one, just the tunnel behind me, still and empty. I felt the chill go straight into my chest. Every instinct told me to run back, but instead I kept going. I don't know why. Curiosity? Pride? I don't know. Eventually I found something. Bones. They were scattered across the floor, not in any kind of pile, just random. Old, brittle. They looked human, not animal. Long femurs, a skull with no jaw, broken ribs. I laughed, not because it was funny, but because it was the only way to stop my brain from spiraling. I told myself it was probably a burial site or something, maybe ancient. Maybe it was just the lighting making them look human. I turned back, unsettled but not panicked. When I got to my sleeping bag again, I lay down, eyes open, staring at the rock above. That's when something landed on my face. It was thick, wet, not water, not rain. It had a texture, like syrup or old oil, and it reeked. I sat up fast, wiping at my skin with my sleeve. I pointed my light up. There was a crack in the stone ceiling, and from it, something was dripping. Dark, slow drops, too thick to be rain. I moved my sleeping bag immediately and tried not to think about what it could be. Sap? Mold? Some kind of animal secretion? I didn't know. Eventually, I must have fallen asleep. When I woke up, everything was wrong. I wasn't where I'd slept. I was lying on cold rock, and when I sat up, my heart nearly stopped. I was at the very edge of the cave, except this wasn't the side I'd entered from. This end opened out to a sheer drop, a cliff so deep that the bottom was just missed. One wrong movement during the night, and I'd be gone. Just like that. But here's the thing. That exit, that opening to the cliff, it hadn't been there last night, I'm sure of it. I'd walked to the back of the cave. I saw the dead end. I saw the bones. There was no exit, no breeze, no light. And now somehow I was at a completely different end. I got up slowly, my heart pounding so loud it hurt. I backed away from the cliff and ran, full on ran, back the way I thought I'd come. The cave didn't look the same. The walls seemed closer together. The ground sloped differently. It was like the cave had shifted. Eventually I found the entrance again, the same side I'd entered from, judging by the scattered gear I'd left. I didn't waste time. I packed up and got the hell out. I made it home that night. I didn't talk about it, just showered and tried to shake it off. But later, when I took my shirt off, I saw marks on my back and arms. Faint bruises, thin, spaced like fingers. Like something or someone had dragged me across the ground. I've gone over every explanation. Maybe I hallucinated from exhaustion. Maybe there was a second opening I missed. Maybe I rolled in my sleep. Maybe animals moved me, though I don't know how. All I know is something happened in that cave. Something I can't explain. Not completely. And the worst part? Sometimes when it rains at night and the wind hits just right, I swear I hear it again. That slow, heavy step on stone. Story number two. I am a senior archaeologist, and this happened 2 years ago at a site we had been excavating in New Zealand. The cave we found was unlike most others I'd worked in. Narrow, suffocating, and drenched in silence that felt heavier than the stone itself. During the day, it was just another dig site. At night, though, it was different. The air seemed thicker, like the cave was holding its breath. It was close to midnight when I stepped out of my tent, restless and unable to sleep. The others were snoring softly in their sleeping bags. I had just started pacing the perimeter when I noticed it, a sharp beam of light shining out of the cave's mouth. It wasn't a glow from within, but more like a flashlight had been switched on and aimed directly outward. There was no reason anyone should have been inside at that hour. We had finished for the day, logged all our notes, and secured the entry. Still, adrenaline surged through me. My instincts told me to leave it, but my legs carried me forward anyway. The moment I stepped inside with my headlamp, the strange light went out. The cave swallowed everything into darkness so thick it made me dizzy. I stood there for a long time waiting, calling out softly in case one of the junior researchers had gone in for some reason. The only answer was silence, too complete, the kind where you become hyper-aware of your own heartbeat. Deeper in, I caught sight of her, a woman standing with her back to me, far down the tunnel. She wasn't part of our team. I knew every face, every build. Her figure looked wrong here, dressed in something old-fashioned, hair matted, her body too still. That's when my headlamp began to flicker, faint pulses of light bouncing against the cave walls. In the blink of an eye, she wasn't there anymore. I convinced myself I had seen shadows, or a trick of my tired eyes. But the silence pressed in harder, and then the scream came. A shrill, piercing sound ripped through the cave, sharp enough to rattle in my skull. I covered my ears with my hands, but it was inside me more than outside. It didn't echo like a normal sound should. It felt alive, vibrating against my teeth, clawing into my bones. I spun in circles, searching for the source. Every corner of the cave looked the same. Unchanged stone walls, patches of mud, the faint drip of water. When it stopped, the quiet was somehow worse. That's when I turned to leave and froze. She was right in front of me now. Her face was pale, stretched into a grin too wide to be human. Her eyes, if you could call them that, were hollow sockets. But somehow I felt her stare pierce straight into me. Across her neck was a gash so deep I could see inside. Bone visible and dark, as if it had been rotting for years. Her movements were jerky, unnatural, like a puppet being yanked by invisible strings. She twitched closer, then closer still, until she was close enough that I could see the moisture glistening in those empty sockets. I tried to run, but my legs wouldn't obey. It was like my muscles had turned to stone. Then her mouth opened. The air shifted instantly, like a vacuum pulling everything in. I hadn't even realized I'd opened my mouth, but I felt something draining from me, like she was sucking the very breath, the very life, straight out of me. My chest tightened, my vision blurred at the edges. My body felt hollow, collapsing inward. The last thing I remember was her grin, a wet, bloody stretch of teeth, her face split too far.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Then, darkness. When I opened my eyes again, it was morning. I was outside, sprawled in the dirt near my tent. The cave entrance yawned in front of me like nothing had happened. The sun was up, the team was already stirring, and no one seemed to have noticed anything strange during the night. But I wasn't fine. My body felt heavy, weak, like I'd run for miles, though I hadn't moved. My skin crawled, literally. When I looked down, I saw dozens of small beetles and pale worms clinging to me, wriggling in and out of my clothes as if I had been lying there for hours without moving. I shook them off in a frenzy, heart pounding in my throat. The others laughed it off when I mentioned it. Maybe I had sleepwalked. Maybe I'd collapsed from exhaustion. The bugs, they said, were normal. Camping near caves attracts all kinds of things. And the vision of the woman? Stress? Lack of sleep? The shadows of flickering light in a cave playing tricks on my brain. I wanted to believe them. I still try to. But there are things I can't explain. My headlamp was lying beside me outside the tent, drained of battery, though I had changed them fresh just before the night. My throat burned raw for days like I had been screaming, though I remember making no sound. And the worst part, ever since that night, I sometimes wake in the middle of the dark with the same sensation. The air being pulled from my lungs by something I can't see. I tell myself that it's nothing, but every time, just before I fully wake up, I see it again. That grin, too wide and too wet, waiting in the dark. And I can't shake the feeling that I didn't walk out of that cave alone. Story number three. I don't usually talk about this, because every time I try to explain, people think I was hallucinating, overtired, or maybe making it up. But this happened to me 2 years ago when I went on vacation with my family. We had rented a wooden cabin deep in the woods, one of those picture-perfect rustic places where you expect peace and silence. The silence was the first thing that bothered me. Not a normal silence, but the kind where even the trees look like they're holding their breath. The whole drive up, I felt something sitting on my chest, like a warning that something wasn't right. My parents and siblings laughed it off, told me to stop being paranoid, but the feeling didn't leave. If anything, it got stronger the closer we got. The cabin looked normal enough. Two floors, pinewood walls, the faint smell of varnish and damp, but the air inside felt colder than outside, like the cabin had been shut for years. At night, I kept hearing faint scratching sounds on the walls, like claws dragging along the wood. Everyone else was asleep. I lay awake, staring at the ceiling, telling myself it was probably squirrels or raccoons. The next day we went out to explore the woods. The sun was beginning to set when I realized I couldn't see my family anymore. 1 second they were a few feet ahead of me, laughing and pointing at something, and then they were just gone. I called out their names until my throat hurt, but the only answer was my voice bouncing back in strange echoes that didn't sound like me. That's when I noticed a hollow opening between the trees. It looked too round, too perfect to be natural, almost like a man-made cave. For reasons I can't explain, my body started moving toward it. I swear I didn't want to. My mind screamed at me to turn around, but my feet kept walking. It felt like someone else was steering me, dragging me in. As soon as I crossed the threshold, a blast of freezing air hit my face. It smelled like something rotting, meat and sulfur mixed together. I gagged. The cave walls were wet, glistening, and when I touched them, my fingers came away black, like soot. Inside, I noticed shapes scattered on the ground. When my eyes adjusted, I realized they were weapons. Rusted spears, broken shields, daggers with dried stains. They looked like they belonged in a museum. Before I could process, I heard a grinding noise. And when I spun around, the entrance was gone. Not blocked by rocks, just gone. In its place was a flat wall of stone, like the cave had swallowed me whole. Panic set in. I fumbled for my phone and turned on the flashlight. The beam of light cut through the darkness, and almost instantly, something sharp flew past my face. A spear. It sliced the skin near my ear, warm blood trickling down my neck. Before I could react, an arrow shot out of nowhere, grazing my leg. My brain barely had time to register before another flew past my shoulder. It felt like the cave itself had become some kind of trap. Weapons kept flying out of the dark, spears, arrows, jagged blades, coming from no visible source. I ducked, rolled, scrambled on all fours just to avoid them. The sound of metal whistling past my ears was constant. Every nerve in my body screamed to get out, to survive. I forced myself to move forward, deeper into the cave. My light shook with my trembling hands. That's when I noticed something terrifying. Faint outlines of figures on the walls. Not painted, not carved. Shadows. Human shapes, dozens of them, frozen mid-movement, as if people had been etched into the stone. I swear I saw one shift slightly, like it was trying to peel off the wall. After what felt like hours, I finally saw it. Faint moonlight leaking through a crack ahead. My lungs burned with relief. I sprinted, or tried to. That's when an arrow came from the side and buried itself into my leg. The pain was white hot, like fire exploding in my nerves. I screamed but forced myself forward, dragging my body through the crack until I spilled out into the forest floor. I lay there for a long time, gasping, my blood soaking into the dirt. The woods were silent again, too silent. Somehow I made it back to the cabin, limping the entire way. My family was already inside, laughing, playing cards like nothing had happened. I locked myself in my room and collapsed on the bed. I had the arrow in my hand, heavy and real. I placed it on the desk and stared at it until I fell asleep. The next morning, the pain was still there, sharp every time I tried to move my leg. But when I looked at the desk, the arrow was gone. Not misplaced, gone. I searched every corner of the room. Nothing. When I asked my parents about it, they looked at me with blank faces. They said I was with them the entire time, that I never left their side in the woods. They even swore I had walked back with them, laughing. I didn't know what to say. My leg still throbbed, but there was no wound, not even a scar. For days after, I couldn't shake the unease. The scratching on the cabin walls grew louder at night, like something crawling around, trying to get in. Once I woke up and found muddy footprints leading from the door to my bed. No one else seemed to notice. We left the cabin a week later, and I've never gone back. My family remembers that vacation as calm and peaceful. They tease me for being jumpy and paranoid. But sometimes when I close my eyes at night, I can still feel cold air against my face and smell that rotting stench. And once in a while, when the house is quiet, I hear it again. That faint whistle of an arrow slicing through the dark, missing me by an inch. Story number 4. I've been diving for years. Nothing professional, just recreational cave diving, with a crew that meets on weekends when schedules line up. Florida springs are beautiful for that. The water is usually so clear you can see fish drifting 20 feet ahead like they're floating in glass. Most dives blur together after a while, but there's one that won't leave me. It happened last year, and I still get goosebumps even when I think of it. We were exploring a submerged tunnel system I'd never been through before. Everything started out normal. Suits on, gear checked, slow descent through the limestone opening. I remember the water feeling unusually cold that day, colder than the temperature charts had suggested. Still, I brushed it off. Maybe it was just nerves. The tunnel narrowed as we swam further in, walls closing until only one person could pass through at a time. That didn't bother me. Tight spaces are expected in cave diving. What got to me was the silence. Usually you hear the faint hiss of your own regulator, maybe the click of another diver's fins. Here, though, it felt like the sound was being swallowed whole. When the tunnel finally opened into a chamber, I thought I'd feel relief. The space widened up, but the water ahead was pitch dark. My flashlight cut through maybe 10 feet, and then nothing, just this void. The second I entered, a noise filled my head. It was a hum, deep at first, then climbing higher like feedback in my skull. I thought maybe my hood trapped a bubble, but when I adjusted, the hum got sharper, more rhythmic, almost like it had a pattern. I looked at the others. They were calmly swimming, inspecting rock formations, taking their time. Nobody flinched. Nobody seemed to hear it. That's when unease really set in. The longer I stayed, the worse it got. The hum pulsed, each vibration syncing strangely with my heartbeat. Then I felt something tug at my feet, not strong, but unmistakable, like someone had yanked at my fin. I whipped my light around, nothing, just particles drifting in the beam. My chest tightened, breath catching in the regulator. I signaled distress, but instead of heading straight out, I hesitated. I don't know why. Maybe it was curiosity, maybe some dumb urge to not be the one who panics. My lungs burned with every inhale, like the air was thinning. My vision fuzzed at the edges. I blinked and realized my eyes stung so badly they watered, which shouldn't even happen underwater. Then came the itching. It started small, a prickling on my arms. Within seconds, it spread across my whole body. It didn't feel like an itch you could scratch. It was deeper, a burning irritation beneath the skin. The closest thing I can compare it to is poison ivy, but amplified, like fire crawling through every pore. I kicked hard toward the tunnel, but the water resisted. A current pushed against me. At first, I thought I was panicking and imagining it, but my bubbles drifted sideways instead of up. At that depth, there shouldn't have been a current at all. Florida springs aren't tidal, yet something was pushing me back into that chamber, almost like the water itself wanted me there. The hum hit its peak, shrill and drilling into my skull. I remember thinking my eardrums might burst. My arms and legs felt like lead, heavy and burning. Somehow I broke free, swimming with every ounce of strength I had left until I reached the others in the tunnel. As soon as I crossed back into the narrow passage, the current vanished, just like that. The hum dropped off too, leaving only the familiar hiss of my regulator. I surfaced gasping, dragging myself onto the rocks by the entry point. My crew followed, confused but calm, like nothing had happened. When I tried to explain, they just stared. One even laughed, saying maybe my tank was low and I panicked. But my gauge was fine. It wasn't until I stripped out of my wetsuit that things got worse. My skin was covered in rash marks, red streaks and raised welts all over my torso, arms and legs. Some looked like scratches, others like burns. They stung when the air hit them. Nobody else had anything, just me. For days after, the marks lingered. They faded slowly, but I still get random flare-ups, patches of the same rash across my chest or down my arms, always when I think about that dive. Doctors shrugged it off as some allergic reaction, but I've never had one in my life, and nothing in that spring should have caused it. What unsettles me more, though, are the things that kept happening after. The night of the dive, I woke up drenched in sweat, ears ringing with that same pulsing hum. My bedroom was pitch black, and for a moment, I swore I could feel water pressing against me, cold and heavy. The ringing stopped only when I sat upright and turned on the light. Another time, while showering a week later, I felt that tug on my foot again, sharp, like a hand yanking me backward. I slipped hard against the tile, nearly cracking my head. My ankle bore red marks for 2 days where something had pressed into the skin. And then there are the dreams, always the same. I'm back in that chamber, floating in darkness. The hum starts low and builds until it feels like my head will split. I try to swim out, but the water pushes me back. Something brushes against me, long, cold, deliberate. I never see what it is. I always wake gasping, chest burning like I'd held my breath too long. I've stopped diving since then. The crew keeps inviting me, and I keep finding excuses. I don't trust the water anymore. Sometimes when I drive past lakes or springs, I feel that same itch on my skin, a phantom reminder. Everyone around me tried giving logical answers for what had happened to me, but none of them explained why I was the only one affected. None of them explain why the rash keeps coming back. None explain the tugging sensation when I'm nowhere near water, or why the hum still rings in my ears on some nights, faint and distant, as though I left a part of myself in that chamber, and something there remembers. Story number 5. I wasn't doing anything extreme that day, just a short solo crawl in one of the smaller sandstone caves along the Oregon coast. The cave wasn't deep, and it wasn't dangerous. Just a pretty chamber with those honey-colored walls, a couple of tight squeezes, and that damp mineral smell you only get in coastal caves. It was when I was crawling through one of the narrower passages that I spotted it. Half buried in sand and rubble was a vase, or what was left of it. A tall, clay-like piece with jagged edges, its surface patterned faintly with etchings worn down by time. It didn't look like trash or some tourist's pottery project. It looked old and wrong in a way I couldn't place. I picked it up, brushed it off, and something about it felt heavy, not just in weight, but in presence, like it shouldn't be there, but had been waiting. I didn't think twice. I slipped it into my pack. By the time I crawled out, the sun was setting and the tide was creeping closer. The parking lot above the cliffs was empty, just my car sitting alone in that soft, coastal fog. I packed my gear in the trunk but placed the vase carefully on the passenger seat. Something about it didn't feel like it belonged in the trunk, buried under muddy ropes and a helmet. The drive back was quiet at first. My windows fogged in the cool air. The coastal road twisted in long stretches, headlights cutting through mist. That was when I heard it, a sound from the passenger side. It wasn't from the engine, not from the road, not even from the seatbelt buckle rattling. It came from the vase, a hollow knock. I pulled over, flipped on the interior light, and checked. Nothing inside, nothing crawling around it. I tapped the surface myself, and the sound didn't match what I'd heard. I convinced myself it was just the road vibrations, tossed some napkins over it, and kept driving. Half an hour later, I noticed something in the rearview mirror. At first, it was subtle, just the sense of weight in the back seat, like when someone shifts and the suspension dips. But then I caught it, a figure, sitting dead center in the back, a man, or the shape of one. His head tilted forward, but there was no face, just skin where features should be. My stomach dropped. I slammed the brakes so hard the car fishtailed. Heart pounding, I turned around. The back seat was empty. I sat on the shoulder for a while, just breathing, fog outside rolling like pale smoke across the beams of my hazards. I told myself it was exhaustion, that caves can mess with your head. Low oxygen, cramped spaces, hours of silence. Maybe I was seeing things. But the unease stayed. Every curve of the road, every glance in the mirror, I felt eyes on me. And then the thud came. It hit the roof directly above me, hard enough to make the car shiver, like someone had dropped from above and landed on the roof with their full weight. I swerved, pulled over, grabbed my flashlight, and stepped out. The night air smelled like wet pine and salt. I shone the beam across the roof. Nothing, not even a dent. The silence pressed in, heavier than the fog. My ears strained, waiting for footsteps, an animal, something. There was only the faint tick of cooling metal. I forced myself back inside, locked the doors, and gripped the wheel tighter than I needed. That was when I made the mistake of looking in the mirror again. The faceless man was back. This time, he wasn't just sitting. His arms were stretching forward, pale hands reaching between the seats toward me. I screamed, stomped the brakes, but they didn't respond. The pedal sank uselessly under my foot. The car roared down the slope, headlights bouncing across trees, the faceless figure lunging closer. I cranked the wheel, tried pumping the brakes, anything, but the car didn't slow. His hands almost brushed my shoulders when the front end smashed into a tree. Metal folded, glass exploded. The airbags punched the air from my lungs. When I came to, I was outside, on the damp grass, my head ringing and the taste of blood in my mouth. Emergency lights flickered through the trees. Someone must have called it in. The officials swarmed, checked my vitals, inspected the wreck. I tried to explain between gasps that my brakes had failed, that someone had been in the car. But when I asked about the vase, they told me there hadn't been one. Not on the seat, not in the wreckage. not on the roadside. Nothing. I know I brought it with me. I know it was there. The days after blurred together in hospital rooms and insurance calls. But nights? Nights are different. When the room is dark and quiet, I sometimes hear that hollow knock again. Soft, like clay tapped from the inside. I wake up convinced the Voss is nearby, sitting on my dresser, waiting for me to look. Once I swore I saw the reflection of a figure in the hospital window. Tilted head, no face. Doctors say trauma can do strange things. That accidents scramble memory. Maybe they're right. But every drive since, no matter the road, no matter the car, I keep checking the rear view. And sometimes, for just a second, I see the back seat dip, like someone unseen has settled in for the ride. Story number 6. I work freelance gigs for a small production team, mostly nature and travel documentaries. A few months ago, I got booked for a shoot inside one of the Crystal Caves in Bermuda. I'd been there as a tourist years ago, so I thought it would be fun. Beautiful caverns, clear pools, all that. When the director suggested I do an overnight stay to capture the transition of light in the natural soundscape, I didn't think twice. The place really is stunning. Smooth walls glittering under the lamps, formations that look too perfect to be real, water so still it mirrors everything above it. But even with the beauty, I kept feeling something was wrong. It wasn't anything dramatic at first, just this prickling sense at the back of my neck, like when you know someone's staring at you, even though nobody is. I brushed it off as nerves, or maybe being alone underground too long. While setting up the camera gear, I noticed something on one of the stone walls, an etching. Not the kind you see in public areas where tourists carve initials, but deeper, deliberate. It was a spiral, uneven, almost carved in with something jagged. I remember thinking it was probably just graffiti, but for some reason I reached out and touched it. My fingers slid along the grooves. It was colder than the rest of the wall, like touching metal instead of stone. That night when I lay down near my equipment, I kept waking up in intervals, restless. At one point, I felt this sharp, prickling pain along my neck, like hundreds of tiny needles pressing in. I figured maybe a bug had gotten under my collar. By the time I was back home the next evening, there was a mark there. In the mirror, I saw it clearly, a tiny spiral, the same shape as the carving, faintly raised on my skin. Over the next couple of days, it started acting up. Sometimes it burned so intensely that I thought I'd scalded myself. Once I felt a trickle and looked to find blood dripping down my collarbone, though when I cleaned it up, the wound seemed to seal itself. No scab, nothing. I don't remember colliding with a wall or getting scratched by anything in the cave. The first night it escalated, I woke abruptly around 3 a.m. My apartment was dead quiet. On the floor, leading away from my bed, was a trail of wet footprints, bare, human-sized. They stopped at my bedroom door, like whoever made them had walked right out. I live alone, and my door had been locked. My first thought was sleepwalking, but I don't sleepwalk. By morning, the floor was clean, no marks at all. The same thing happened the following night, then the night after that. Always footprints, always disappearing by morning. On the fourth night, I decided to follow them. They led down the hallway toward my kitchen, but stopped halfway. No turn, no continuation. Just ended. And right at the end of the trail, in the dark, two small red dots hovered at eye level. They glowed faintly, as if someone was standing there watching me. The air went icy cold and my skin broke out in goosebumps. I bolted back to my room, heart pounding so hard it drowned out everything else. The next morning all seemed normal except my closet had been thrown into chaos. Clothes yanked from hangers, folded shirts scattered across the floor. I hadn't opened it since the day before. Nothing was missing, just disturbed. I told myself maybe I'd been half asleep and did it without realizing, though that explanation never sat right. A few nights later, it got worse. I woke up to see the same red dots, but this time they weren't in the hallway. They were directly above me, hovering in the dark over my bed. As my eyes adjusted, I realized they weren't just floating. There was a faint outline, a body darker than the dark around it, leaning close. At that exact moment, my skin flared with the same burning pain as the spiral on my neck. It spread across my chest and arms, like invisible fire crawling over me. I tried to scream, but my voice came out muffled, as if someone had pressed a hand over my mouth, though nothing touched me. My whole body felt pinned down, paralyzed. I must have blacked out because the next thing I remember is waking up in the morning, drenched in sweat, heart still racing. My room looked untouched, but when I checked the mirror, faint burn marks traced along my skin. Not blistered like from actual flames, but discolored, angry red patches, especially near the spiral. I went to a doctor that afternoon. He examined me but found nothing serious, nothing he could term as. That was strange enough. I know what was happening to me. When I explained what happened, his face tightened like he didn't know how to respond. He prescribed a cream, but it didn't help. The marks faded a little, but never disappeared. The strangest part is how the nights afterward felt. Sometimes I'd wake up and the air would be thick, almost humming, though nothing visibly moved. Sometimes the spiral would sting, then stop abruptly, like someone pressing a hot needle into my skin and pulling it out. A couple of times I thought I heard faint dripping, like water echoing in a cave, even though I was in my apartment with no leaks. Eventually the footprints stopped showing up, but I don't think that means it's over. Every so often I'll glance at my reflection and swear the spiral mark is darker, almost fresh. Or I'll catch myself looking at a corner of the room, convinced something is standing there just out of sight. It's been months now. I can go days without anything strange. Then out of nowhere, the burning flares up or the air feels wrong again. The doctors still don't know what's on my skin. I've avoided telling people in real life because it sounds insane. Maybe there's a medical explanation, some weird infection or nerve disorder. Maybe the footprints were just hallucinations from stress and lack of sleep. Maybe the eyes were light reflections and my brain filled in the rest. But every time I touch the back of my neck and feel that spiral etched into my skin, colder than the rest of me, I know something followed me out of that cave, and I don't think it's done with me yet. Story number 7. I've been into caving for a few years, just weekend expeditions with a headlamp, ropes, and curiosity. Most of the time it's uneventful. Damp rocks, old bat droppings, and silence so thick it presses on your ears. But last winter, something happened that I can't shake off, no matter how much I try to reason it away. It started when I stumbled across an odd little object deep in a lava tube. My headlamp beam slid over a small figure wedged in the dust, half buried as if it had been sitting there for decades. At first, I thought it was just a broken toy some careless hiker had dropped. But when I picked it up, I realized it wasn't plastic or fabric. It was some sort of clay or wood, unnervingly smooth, with tiny hands pressed together like it was praying. The face had wide, painted eyes that seemed far too detailed for its size. It wasn't ancient-looking, just wrong, like something you don't expect to see down there. I shoved it in my pack with the idea of handing it over to a local museum. They sometimes display odd things found in caves, and I figured it would be better off there than gathering mold in my apartment. But the whole hike back, I felt uneasy, like something was tagging along behind me. Every time I turned, the cave was empty, just shadows shifting as my light bounced. When I finally reached my car, the air outside felt thick, like being underwater. At home, I dropped the doll on the living room shelf and tried to forget about it. But the next morning, I woke up with a jolt, neck almost cramping from the way I shot upright. My eyes locked onto something at the side of my bed. The doll was there, sitting on the floor against the frame, staring up at me with those painted eyes. I don't remember moving it. I don't even remember bringing it near my bedroom. I tried to laugh it off, but the sound stuck in my throat and came out more like a cough. That afternoon, I drove it straight to the museum. The curator was polite, took the doll, and even showed me where it was logged and locked in one of their cabinets. Relieved, I went home. But that night, I woke again to the sensation of weight pressing onto the mattress, the dip of someone settling in beside me. The air went cold against my neck. My eyes stayed shut, frozen in fear, but I swear I could feel the faint pressure of something breathing in sync with me. The next morning, the doll was on my bed. I drove back to the museum in a haze, demanding to know if they'd misplaced it. They showed me the cabinet. The doll was still there, locked behind glass. I couldn't speak. When I told them I had the same doll in my car, they followed me out, but the back seat was empty. Nothing there. That was the start of it. Every night something new would happen. the sound of tiny feet across the hardwood when I was half asleep, shadows moving just out of view when all the lights were off, the faint scrape of wood on tile, like a chair being dragged, but softer, closer. And no matter what I did, lock it in a box, toss it outside, even sneak it into a garbage van, it would return. Sometimes on the couch, sometimes by the sink, but more often than not, it was near my bed when I woke. One night, out of sheer desperation, I held it in my hands, trying to convince myself it was just a trick of my own nerves. I turned it over, squinting at the way its features seemed sharper than I remembered. And then, I swear, absolutely swear, the head twitched, just a tiny, deliberate jerk to the side. A wave of numbness spread through my legs, heavy like stone. I couldn't move. Panic clawed at my chest as the sensation crept higher, locking me into place like I was being molded into something solid. The doll's face seemed to shift, the corners of its painted mouth tightening in something too close to a smile. With all the strength I could muster, I hurled it at the window. The glass cracked, the doll tumbled outside, and instantly, feeling surge back into my legs like pins and needles stabbing every nerve, I collapsed, gasping, drenched in cold sweat. That night I didn't sleep. I locked every door, every window, and sat awake with every light in the house on. Nothing happened. Silence stretched on until morning. But when I opened the door, the doll was there on the porch, upright, waiting. That was the final straw. I grabbed it, marched to the backyard, doused it with lighter fluid, and set it ablaze. The flames curled over its face, blackening the features until it crumbled to ash. For the first time in weeks, I felt relief, and it seemed to work. No more footsteps at night. No more phantom weight in the bed. No more painted eyes following me from the dark corners of the room. Life went back to normal, or as close to normal as it could. But even now, I can't relax fully. Sometimes when I wake at night, I feel like there's a slight dip at the edge of my mattress, as if someone sat down and just got up before I opened my eyes. I tell myself it's in my head, leftover fear messing with me. Maybe that's true. Maybe it isn't. All I know is, I don't bring anything home from caves anymore. Not even rocks. I don't trust what stays buried down there, waiting. Story number 8. I volunteered for a geology field trip a few months ago. We were a small group, mostly students and a couple of professors, exploring lava tubes and limestone caves in a remote area. It wasn't my first time in caves, but this trip felt different from the beginning. Too quiet, too far away from any town. The days were spent surveying, logging rock formations, and measuring fault lines. At night, everyone usually stayed near the camp, too tired to go anywhere. But my friend Kathy was always restless. On the second night, she suggested we go explore one of the caves nearby, after dark. I wasn't thrilled, but she had this way of convincing me. We waited until most of the group had settled. Around 11 p.m., we slipped away with headlamps and water bottles. The cave was about 10 minutes from camp. From the outside, it looked like a jagged mouth cut into the hillside, black and silent. When we stepped in, the temperature dropped instantly. The air was stale, almost wet, and every sound we made bounced back in distorted echoes. The cave floor was uneven, coated in fine dust. As we walked deeper, I started noticing something that made me uneasy. Our footprints behind us looked sharper, like they had been pressed in freshly laid dust, not disturbed ground. It felt like the cave was recording us too precisely, like it hadn't been touched in decades. Kathy walked ahead, light bobbing across the walls. I remember turning my head for a second, trying to adjust my headlamp, and when I looked back, she was gone. The beam of her light wasn't there anymore. No footsteps, no sound, just silence. I called her name a few times, my voice hitting the stone and coming back in broken fragments. There was no answer. I retraced my steps, checked corners, even shined my light on the ceiling, thinking maybe she'd climb some ledge, but there was nothing, just my own footprints. Hers stopped a few feet ahead, like she'd simply vanished. That's when I felt it, the faintest dart of movement behind me, like someone had slipped past in the dark. I spun around. Nothing. Just the blackness, swallowing the beam of my light. But then I heard it. Breathing. Not steady, not mine. Hot, damp air brushed my ear, so close it prickled my skin. I froze. My first thought was maybe a bat, but this was different, too controlled, too human. Before I could react, something heavy struck the back of my head. My vision blurred, tunneled, and everything went black. When I came to, I wasn't lying on the cave floor. I was hanging, suspended by ropes around my chest and wrists. The air was thick and reeking of something acrid. I looked down. Below me was a shallow pit, liquid bubbling and hissing. It looked like acid, pale and steaming, spitting up small bursts of vapor. The heat rising from it burned my throat just from breathing. My eyes went to where the rope was secured, and that's when I saw her. Kathy. She was standing calmly by the rock where the rope was tied, holding a knife. But something was wrong. Her eyes, God, her eyes weren't normal. They glowed faintly yellow like the reflection of an animal's eyes in headlights, only brighter. She didn't say anything, just smiled. Not a warm smile, but one that stretched too wide like she was enjoying what she was about to do. She lifted.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The knife and pressed it against the rope. The fibers began to fray. I thrashed and shouted, begged her to stop, but it was like my words didn't reach her. Her grin grew sharper. I looked down at the pit again, the acid bubbling like it was alive, spitting hot droplets that sizzled on the rocks. My chest locked with terror. One moment she was slicing, the next the rope snapped, and I felt myself falling, screaming, the heat surging up to meet me. And then I woke up. I was in my tent. Sweat plastered my clothes to my skin. My pillow was damp. My throat was raw, like I'd actually been screaming. It was daylight outside, birds calling faintly. Kathy was lying next to me in her sleeping bag, stirring awake. She noticed I was shaken, asked if I'd had a bad dream. She sounded concerned, even put her hand on my shoulder to calm me. But as I looked at her, still gasping for breath, I saw it. Just for a fraction of a second, her eyes caught the light in a way that wasn't natural. They glowed faintly yellow, the same as in the cave, before blinking back to normal. I told myself it was the sun hitting her pupils at the right angle, or my mind playing tricks after the dream. But I couldn't shake the unease.
Annette!
The rest of the trip, I couldn't look at her the same way. She laughed with the others, carried her notebook, took samples like everyone else. Perfectly normal. But at night, when the campfire died and we crawled into our tents, I couldn't fall asleep. Sometimes I swore I heard that breathing again, just inches from my ear, warm and steady in the dark. I never told anyone else about what happened. Maybe it was just a nightmare triggered by the cave's claustrophobia, mixed with exhaustion and dehydration. That's the explanation I try to hold on to. But then, a week after we returned, I met up with one of the professors to hand over my field notes. He mentioned casually that they had reviewed the survey photos of the cave we visited. He paused before showing me one picture, snapped from a trail camera set up near the entrance. It showed me and Kathy entering the cave around 11 p.m. Only one of us came out an hour later. The figure in the photo wasn't her. Not exactly. The shape was right, but the face was blurred, the eyes catching the light like an animal's, glowing faintly yellow. I don't know what to believe anymore. All I know is, when I dream now, it's always the same. The rope tightening against my chest, the bubbling acid below, and Kathy, or whatever she is, grinning in the dark, knife in hand. And every morning, I wake up drenched in sweat, with the faintest trace of hot breath still clinging to my ear. Thanks for watching. Don't leave before leaving a like to this video. Also, hit the subscribe button to support my work. And as always, have a horrific nightmare, my dear.